Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Thursday, September 19th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Let's talk some injuries. How about it? A lot of injuries going around the NFL. Most of them, honestly, are much ado about nothing, so that is fortunate here. But I want to rip through that, talk a little of what we saw with shadow coverage last week as well to get a setup for another week here. And really, shadow coverage stuff, that's for the DFS crowd. I'll say this so I'm blue in the face, but we really don't need to get that granular in season-long fantasy football because the objective is completely different than it is in DFS. In DFS, I want, honestly, to shoot for ceiling, and I want, ideally, for every player in any lineup I submit to hit their ceiling. If I do that, I win all the money. The likelihood of that happening isn't great. That's why the payout is pretty significant, but that's the objective. And we're playing against hundreds, if not thousands, of lineups. We have to navigate salary. There's so many variables at play. In season-long redraft fantasy football or dynasty, where you're facing just one other team, your objective isn't to hit the ceiling. Now, it's nice when you hit the ceiling, but the objective is really to hit the midpoint or better. And if you do that across the board on your roster, chances are you're going to win. Now, you could run into a buzzsaw. We all do. But you're making your job easier if you're shooting for midpoint, not for ceiling. So when I see people getting into the weeds over wide receiver cornerback matchups for their redraft league, they're really overdoing it. Right? They're really, really overdoing it. And I'll actually point out a couple examples with shadow coverage from last week, where even though the shadow coverage was tough, the players still ended up putting up a decent fantasy week outside of the coverage. Now, I'll get into that in a little bit, but like I said, so many different injuries to get into here. By the way, I know I'm going to keep saying this as well, but on Wednesdays, I am on the FTN Fantasy Football podcast. So subscribe to that. It's basically the same thing as this with a little bit different music. But yesterday, I really got into the nitty gritty on everything that went down in the Chiefs backfield. So Keyonte Ingram signed to the active roster, not called up. That is not a thing in the NFL. You're either elevated from practice squad and you still are on the practice squad, even if you're elevated, or you're signed to the active roster. One or the other, there's no such thing as called up. So I talked about that. Kareem Hunt, even though Andy Reid said he could play this week, I highly doubt that. They have three running backs on the active roster. What point would it make to elevate a guy? In fact, that'd be a really poor usage of your practice squad. So I don't expect him now. I actually don't expect him anytime soon. We shall see. Oh, we shall see. But I gave much more of a detailed breakdown on the podcast yesterday, and actually all that information still applies. So go check that out. All right, let's get into injury stuff. So Cooper Kupp was not placed on injured reserve. As far as that is concerned, some people are taking that as a sigh of relief. I don't know if it is. He's also currently in a cast, and it is a high ankle sprain, a severe high ankle sprain. So what could be going on here? Well, one of two things. Either, yes, he could be back a little bit sooner than initially anticipated, or the Rams are being very careful with how many of their injured reserve designated to returns they're using. Each NFL team gets 8 of those during the course of the regular season. If you make the playoffs, you get 2 more tacked on. It's not like you only have 2 in the playoffs. It's, hey, if you only used 6 in the regular season, you have 2 more left. In the postseason, you now have 4 more left. Like that's how it works. So anyway, they have a lot of guys on IR who could potentially be designated to return, including several offensive linemen. I think they're being more careful here, and Kupp may not go to injured reserve, but may not return anytime soon. And that's really, I'm reading a tweet here from Jordan Rodrigue, who knows the team probably better than anybody out there. And that's what she said. So we'll see. We'll see. And yes, I know. I just said that's what she said. All right. So be careful with Cooper Kupp. He's not practicing. He's not going to play this week. Deebo Samuel, AJ Brown, also not expected to play this week. I'm viewing Devontae Smith as a wide receiver 1, basically where I had him last week, like inside the top 10. As far as Brandon Ayuk, not quite as much. He's more of a wide receiver 2, just inside the top 20. I think the biggest beneficiary there in San Francisco is actually George Kittle. Now, we will get a good look at this backfield, though. Will they actually play Isaac Garendo more than one snap? Who is the number two back? Because Debo technically really was the number two back. So we'll get into that and see what happens this weekend. Of course, I'll recap that for you on Monday. CeeDee Lamb was not practicing yesterday, but apparently it's not that big of a deal, at least as of right now. That's where we're leaning here. So I think a sigh of relief. Mike McCarthy said not of high concern. Okay, good. Because he's my number one wideout for the week. Amon-Ra practicing, Justin Jefferson practicing, DK Metcalf not, but I'm not overly concerned. It's being called a hand issue. So again, really can't get anything from the first practice of the week. I see this every stinking year. People lose their minds over a Wednesday practice report, and it's like, come on, man. It's the Friday practice report the third practice report of the week that is the only one that's really going to be telling for us. And even sometimes then it's not that telling. Nico Collins missed practice yesterday, but was immediately put out there that he's expected to play. And he was back in practice today, so there's that. T. Higgins is expected to be practicing today. At least that's what the initial reports have suggested. Does that mean he plays? No, it doesn't. But he would be trending in the right direction, so there is that. Other wide receivers, let's see. Oh, Jaden Reed, he was actually at practice. He missed practice yesterday, but he was there today. Actually, Jordan Love practicing in pads today, so he could be back this week. Remember when people thought he was done for the year? Could be back even this week. We'll keep an eye on Jordan Addison, too, if he can get back out there for Minnesota this week. He's dealing with that ankle, but he's being called day-to-day, so that actually could help even more for Sam Darnold, who obviously has gotten off to a pretty decent start to the season. Running back-wise, the two main running backs we're keeping an eye on are Kenneth Walker and Joe Mixon. Because otherwise, I think we're in the clear with Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Rashad White. Even Raheem Mostert could be back out there this week. A little bit of a deeper play, but that's obviously good news for Mostert managers, even though the offense can't necessarily or won't necessarily move the ball as effectively with Skylar Thompson out there. But let's talk about Walker. It is an oblique injury. I do not have Thursday's report yet for him. I do actually have it for Mixon. But he is not expected to play as of now. That could change, but it looks like we'll get another week of Charbonnet. I do have Charbonnet as a top 12 option. Not the best on the ground, but can catch the ball out of the backfield very effectively. And we saw last week when they get down in the red area of the field, when they get down to the goal line region, Charbonnet is going to get the looks. That's all we really need to know. As far as Joe Mixon is concerned, well, not practicing yesterday, and as of now, reports saying not spotted at practice today. I don't actually have the full report, but I'm guessing it goes down as a DNP. So what does that mean for us right now? Well, it means that tomorrow is pivotal. If Mixon goes DNP again tomorrow, he will, even if he's labeled as questionable, be very unlikely to play. If he goes limited tomorrow, that's trending in the right direction, labeled as questionable, would probably be on the right side of questionable, still not out of the woods, but I'd have a lot more confidence if he at least got limited work in. I know the next question that's going to be asked is, what about Cam Akers? Well, we also have to keep an eye on Damian Pierce. I don't have any reports of him at today's practice, but yesterday did not practice dealing with an ankle and a hamstring, I believe. Well, it's certainly at least a hamstring. I did see ankle listed at one point. Sometimes these guys have multiple injuries. If no Mixon, if no Pierce, then really good spot for Cam Akers. Could be an RB2 option. I wouldn't be as bullish on him as we would have been with Mixon. But hey, potent offense, good situation, and very minimal competition for touches for Akers. If you went out and grabbed him as a little bit of insurance for Mixon, not a bad play. Always prepare for the worst, hope for the best. That's all we can really do in fantasy football. Moving on to quarterback. So there was a little bit of concern about Justin Herbert. I honestly think he's going to play. I mean, he didn't practice yesterday, but he is back out there today. It's an ankle issue for Herbert. Obviously, the team's just going to run the ball a ton, so there isn't a ton of appeal for Herbert anyway. The only crowd that really gives a crap here is the Superflex crowd, and even there, he's pretty far down in rankings, but it does look like he's going to play. As far as Jordan Love, though, I mean, honestly, trending towards playing, which would be great, because as much as I want to see a Malik Willis revenge game against the Tennessee Titans, we know all too well we can't trust Reed, we can't trust Watson, we can't trust anybody except, you know, Josh Jacobs if it's Malik Willis. So trending in the right direction there. As far as tight ends concerned, it looks like Jake Ferguson will be back this week. He's been limited in practice. However, we're already being told from the Browns that David Njoku unlikely to play this week. Honestly, let me talk about Njoku real quick, because I had somebody ask me about this in the FTN Discord over at FTNFantasy.com. If you're a Fantasy Plus or FTN Plus subscriber, you get access to the Discord where you can talk directly to me, other analysts, etc. And it was essentially about picking Njoku up. He was dropped. Should I pick him up? And my response was, I mean, let's put this into context. You know, I sometimes talk about the tight end merry-go-round, and sometimes that also happens with like a backup running back. And here's what it is. You pick up a guy because he had a good game last week. And then this week, he doesn't have a good game. So what you end up doing is you drop him for the guy who had the good game last week. And then you just keep doing that over and over. David Njoku was quintessentially that for a couple seasons. Now, obviously not last year, but he was that for several seasons because, you know, he was only scoring about four touchdowns a year. So any week he scored a touchdown, he looked great for fantasy. And then the next week he wouldn't score a touchdown. So you would drop him and move on to the next guy. And I think, unfortunately, we're back into that territory, because really the only quarterback who's been truly able to unleash David Njoku's talent, and he does have it, was Joe Flacco. I don't think Watson can do it necessarily. So that's why I didn't have Njoku as a wheelhouse guy. I still, you know, again, I'm willing to acknowledge his talent. I do think that, you know, if he's fully healthy, we look down at the end of the year and he's top 12, but top 12 at tight end is not as good as you think it is. It's a bad ride usually through the season. You want to be top six usually for consistent fantasy value. So I don't see any appeal to picking him up. You know, you're streaming somebody right now. And every so often when you stream a tight end, you do land on somebody like Njoku last year, who catches fire, you get lightning in that bottle, and then you roll from there. But I just don't see much appeal to picking up Njoku. You know, roll with whoever you have right now. I don't want a second tight end on my bench who is basically a merry-go-round guy and is not playing this week. All right. One other quick note here. There's a lot of talk about Bryce Young, and could his career be revived? You know, I saw a TikTok from Max Brown. Some of you, if you follow college football, you remember Max Brown is quarterback at the college level, but he does analysis now, and he had mentioned some potential trade destinations. Like, a lot of people have been talking about Miami. The Raiders come to mind because they have, you know, basically a bridge quarterback in place here with Gardner Minshew. And then I'd even heard, like, Max Brown, he said the number one destination, and it was a surprising one, but it actually makes a lot of sense when you consider everything, would be the Rams. And not to start right now. That's where it makes sense. Get in there, work with Sean McVay. You know, he needs development. Like, I don't know if Bryce Young is able to ever be a starter again in the NFL, but if he was to be a starter, he needs development. So here you go to the Rams. You have no pressure to start right now, or, you know, even next year. You're on your rookie deal, so it's not terrible for the Rams. Now, granted, it's the first overall pick, so your rookie deal is still a little bit pricier than, say, a fourth round guy or something like that. But still, I thought that was kind of fascinating. You know, Bill Barnwell just wrote up a piece over at ESPN that it deep dove on Bryce. And I think it was released today. It deep dove on Bryce, and he made an argument. He said Bryce Young is not the worst number one overall pick in NFL history, but he's not too far off, essentially. Like, there's a lot in this article, but it was actually shocking. You know who he named as the worst number one overall pick of all time? And this one is shocking. You ready for it? Bo Jackson. What? That Bo? Yes, I'm not another Bo Jackson. That Bo Jackson. See, a lot of people forget Bo Jackson was drafted first overall in 1986 by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he ended up refusing to play for the Buccaneers because it kind of messed with his amateur baseball status. There's a lot to the story, but he did not play for the Buccaneers and eventually just, you know, he didn't play. So they lost the rights to him. And then, you know, obviously he goes to the Raiders and the rest is kind of history from there. And obviously his career was cut short, but still wild. And the reason why he made that argument, and I think this is pretty fascinating, like at least with Bryce, like the Carolina Panthers sold some jerseys, you know, and they made a little bit of money back, I guess. With Bo Jackson, Tampa, like completely, they got nothing out of it. It's like a footnote in history is all they got out of it. And unfortunately, I guess for them now, nobody remembers it. But yeah, Bo Jackson, that's pretty crazy stuff. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see if the reclamation project can happen. The Rams would be fascinating. I just don't know if they trade Bryce away. Like Dave Canales said that it doesn't, you know, they're not really considering that. And I don't even know what you get for him at this point. But anyway, wanted to quickly mention that. All right, let me dive into this shadow coverage stuff. So the shadow coverage matrix is updated every Tuesday over at ftnfantasy.com. That's one of the marathon Tuesday things that I do. And I study all the situations on Monday and then break down all the noted shadow coverage situations. So I actually do this in reverse order. Some of the games I actually do live. So if it's an island game, I'm watching it live and then I'll note if it's shadow or not. So AJ Terrell was one of those on Monday night. Of course, no AJ Brown. So he shadowed Devontae Smith. We're going to see Terrell shadow a bunch this season. Here's another one. And this is fascinating. You ready for this one? Dallas, Trayvon Diggs shadowed against the New Orleans Saints. You know who he shadowed? Not Chris Olave. Rashid Shaheed. That would tell me, and this is almost 70% of routes. Shaheed had no catches against Diggs, by the way. That would tell me that Dallas identified Shaheed as the number one receiver. Does that mean he is? Not necessarily, but that's who they identified as the number one. That's crazy. So, Shaheed, zero catches, zero targets against Diggs. All of his production came when he was not facing Diggs. And that isn't even the best example this week. So see, shadow coverage isn't always a death knell. Marvin Harrison shadowed by Tre'Davious White. Yeah, good luck, Tre'Davious White. Joey Porter shadowing again this week on Cortland Sutton. Joey Porter's pretty awesome. Sutton has a much better spot this week. So, you know, we're kind of moving forward here with him. This week will be a rubber meets the road for him. Pat Surtain on George Pickens. Okay, not only did he have tough coverage, but he also has Justin Fields not throwing the ball much. So it's a tough spot for Pickens. Legarius Sneed was on Garrett Wilson. Did a pretty nice job on him. Sneed is no joke. And you know, big part of why Tennessee has been so good on the defensive side of the ball. And we, of course, know Sneed back from his time with the Chiefs was quite good in shadow situations as well. Here's the crazy one. All right, you ready for this? Christian Gonzalez, who I love, man. I love Christian Gonzalez. He was on DK Metcalf almost 90% of routes, 89% of routes. DK caught 3 for 24 on 6 targets against Gonzalez. So that means like, and the touchdown was not one of them. So that means all that, because obviously it was more than 24 yards. All that production that DK put up was in the remaining 11% of his routes that he did not face Gonzalez. This goes back to my point at the beginning of this podcast today that just because it's shadow situation doesn't mean you don't start the dude in redraft, in season long. Like, sure, you may not have ever thought to use DK. Now, granted, it would have worked in DFS, but I don't want to risk that. But I find way too many times people are like, oh, it's a bad matchup, and I'm going to start so-and-so. And the so-and-so they're starting is ranked like 20 spots behind the guy who they perceive with a bad matchup. And sure, once in a blue moon, that play works out and you feel like the genius of the fantasy football universe. But the reality is that most of the time, it doesn't actually work out. And you overthought it. You thought yourself into a corner and you probably thought yourself into a loss that week as well. Jonathan Jones was on Tyler Lockett in that game. So that might help explain why Jaxon Smith-Njigba had a good one. Trent McDuffie was on Ja'Marr Chase. Tough matchup. McDuffie's really good. I thoroughly enjoy watching him play. So that was a tough matchup, but guess what? It's not a tough matchup for Chase and company this week. It's a really stinking good matchup. I can't wait for that. Even if Higgins gets back, I don't care. I'm getting my popcorn ready. And then here's one that I guess they might have done this last year. I have to look back through the numbers a little bit, but definitely it wasn't one that I had anticipated seeing. However, we did see Derek Stingley on the Texans shadowing DJ Moore. Moore was okay in it, 4 for 52 on 6 targets. It was a 67% of his routes he was shadowed on. Not a major one there for, you know, major downgrade or anything for Moore. It's more ultimately Caleb Williams and can he take a step forward? Now, if you want this chart, go check it out, ftnfantasy.com. But that leads me to my final point of today's podcast. We're 2 weeks into the season. And, you know, I am stating the obvious for a lot of people. I hope. I hope that's obvious. It's the obvious for people, right? Duh. Of course we are. But what isn't so obvious to a lot of people is the first 2 weeks of the season really are the final 2 weeks of the preseason. This is sloppy football. We've seen a lot of penalties. This is football that, you know, people are just getting their legs underneath them. We haven't seen necessarily major performances. You know, there are a few, but like overall yardage seems like it's down, a whole lot of kicking. Like, it's not what we're going to see the remainder of the season. And I really think these next 2 weeks are the weeks where we get introduced to what the NFL is. Weeks 3 and 4, they're very crucial. They're very pivotal. Weeks 1 and 2, we can see some things that completely go away. Now, granted, every so often, like last year, you know, the Nacua and Kyron Williams explosions early in the season, those stick. But a lot of this stuff goes away. And really, what sticks is what we see in week 3 and 4. So keep that in mind. If you have that mindset of, I want to cut a player because he hasn't gotten anything done so far, did you evaluate them for just weeks 1 and 2 when they're shaking the rust off, or did you evaluate them for the long haul? And if you evaluated them for the long haul, it is worth giving them the benefit of the doubt and seeing this through for a few more weeks. Now, that advice may have come a little too late if you cut a guy on Tuesday night or last night if your waivers run on Wednesdays. But for a lot of these instances, like quarterback-wise, we don't know what Caleb Williams is. And that's where I was going with that, going back to DJ Moore. We don't know what he is yet. We don't. I don't think this is going to be another Bryce Young, but we don't know what he is yet. I know I've seen a player who has played his first two full games in the NFL as a professional, a player who at times looks a little flustered for sure, but that's going to happen when you're a rookie quarterback and you're facing, you know, Magnus Carlsen level chess play on the defensive side of the ball. That's going to happen. But let's see what happens in the next couple weeks. And let's not forget, Jordan Love, even though he wasn't a rookie last year, basically, you know, first time starter, kind of his rookie season as a starter, he did not look good until 2 months into the season. And then he looked great. Sometimes these things take time. But this is really important. Now we're, you know, we're halfway through the first quarter of the season. Weeks 3 and 4 are really going to reveal a lot to us. So let's make sure we're looking for those things. Be patient. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. And yes, there are going to be down weeks, but there will also be rebound weeks. You know, a lot of down weeks are followed by rebound weeks. That's what happens in fantasy football. All right, so enjoy Thursday Night Football if you're listening to this before the game. If not, hopefully it was a fun game for you. Otherwise, tomorrow I'm going to rip through the remaining games like we do, not going to give you the obvious stuff, give you the, you know, little bit of the deeper or fringe analysis that you need to help you set those lineups up. In the meantime, head on over to ftnfantasy.com, use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff and I'm out.